They say to fully enjoy life, you should collect experiences, not things. Physical things you buy become outdated. They lose their appeal. But an experience lasts forever and grows over the years. That's why I want you to know about the Mervis Diamonds South Africa Safari coming this March 2025. Enjoy a five-star luxury adventure with native South African and longtime fixture on the DC diamond scene, Ronnie Mervis himself, leading the group. I've been on the trip twice, and it is spectacular. You'll fly to Cape Town, see the legendary Table Mountain, visit wine country and the spectacular coast. Then it's off to the Kapama Game Reserve to see the Big Five in their natural habitat: lion, elephant, Cape buffalo, leopard, and rhino. Finally, a tour of the Cullinan Diamond Mine in Johannesburg to see where the sparkly magic comes from. All told, 11 luxury days on the ground, all-inclusive, for just $6,300 a person. This is it, people. The banger safari trip of a lifetime. I've been twice with Ronnie. You will not be disappointed. I guarantee it. Book now. Space is limited, and it's filling up quick. For more information, go to MervisDiamond.com/safari or call travel consultant John Almeida at 888-722-4872 and tell him I sent you. Remember, life is short. Collect memories, not things. As the leaves turn and the air gets crisp, it is time for some serious action. Bet on Lord Football, from heart-pounding college rivalries to the bone-crushing NFL matchups. But that's not all. The ice is getting cold and the courts are heating up. Get in on the NHL face-off and NBA tip-offs as both leagues kick off their seasons. And if you want to get really nuts, bet on the election. Won't that be fun? If you've been waiting for the right time to get in, the time is now. Make your winning move today. Sign up at mybookie.ag. Use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to be eligible for all promotions. Once again, promo code ZABE to get in on the sweet action. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with mybookie.
Fuck, where have you been, man?
You almost gave me a goddamn heart attack. Let me see it. You pussy out or what?
No, man. I got it. It's flawless. Check it.
Hawaii. Uh-huh. All right, that's good. It's hard to trace, I guess. Wait, you changed your name to McLovin? McLovin? What kind of a stupid name is that, Fogel? What, are you trying to be an Irish R&B singer?
Oh, they let you pick any name you want when you get down there.
And you landed on McLovin?
Yeah, I was between that and Muhammad.
Why the fuck would it be between that or Muhammad? Why don't you just pick a common name like a normal person?
Muhammad is the most commonly used name on Earth. Read a fucking book for once.
Fogel, have you ever actually met anyone named Muhammad?
Have you actually ever met anyone named McLovin?
No, that's why you picked a dumb fucking name.
Fuck you.
Give me that. All right. You look like a future pedophile in this picture, number one. Number two, it doesn't even have a first name. It just says McLovin.
What? One name? One name? Who are you, Seal?
Superbad, Sony Pictures, 2007, written by Seth Rogen, starring Jonah Hill and Michael Cera. It's a classic. Let's go!
Here we go!
Rogen, of course, with a cameo later on with Bill Hader as the cops in the movie. God darn, was that movie incredible. Welcome aboard. It is the ZabeCast. Thank you for downloading. On this Wednesday, October 30th, 2024. Lots to get to, but we got Charch in just a bit. There is NFL news. A star wide receiver is out for the year with another ACL injury. I think I know who it is. I saw it on my phone about 2 hours ago. Oh. So you know that Stephon Diggs is out for the year. All right, well, fuck. All right. A starting quarterback has been benched after a shocking admission. Yeah, Richardson, I saw that too. All right, well, fuck! We will talk about it, though, for sure here. The great Foreigner with double vision, as always, to get us going. So, we are 1 week away from the election, and thank God for that. In 1 week's time, the incessant ads will finally stop, and the noise will finally go quiet. But I'm afraid, I got this nagging feeling that, as Andrew Brandt likes to say, as soon as the ads stop, here come the lawyers. there will be lawyers. Our election process is so fucked up. You can't even begin to size up how bad it is. Every state has their own way of holding our national elections for national office, like president. And I understand from the founding fathers' perspective why they did it that way, but I think we got to tighten that up. We got to have some sort of uniformity. And I am firmly in the camp of course you should have to show an ID. Of course. The only reason that you wouldn't want that is to make it so that people who aren't allowed to vote get to vote. Duh. But I'm not sure if in my lifetime we'll ever get there. There's too many entrenched special interests on both sides and too much endemic desire for it to never change. And not only for it to be chaotic and different state by state, but also to be easily manipulated and utterly unauditable. Is that a word? Unaudible? Unauditable. You cannot audit it to be able to say, okay, let's look into this. Let's see what happened. I mean, there are drop boxes for ballots that have gone up in flames. Interesting. In certain areas that are leaning one way. Oh, interesting. How are you going to get that toothpaste back in the tube? How are you going to figure out for somebody who mailed in their vote and said, okay, well, at least I've got my vote in. It counted. Or maybe not. Could have gone up in flames. It's a paper ballot. Well, it's used electronic machines. We should be able to do this. The internet, you know. No, that's another thing that would be a terrible idea. Connecting anything, including the voting machines, to the internet. Even if they're not connected to the internet, as they say they are, only to get downloads or software updates, anything that can ever connect to the internet is hackable and will be hacked. But anyhow, we got Kamala Harris subbed in for Joe Biden in July and Donald Trump back and oranger than ever. All right. Not sure the founders envisioned this exactly, but here we are. And of course, sports figures think they can make a difference. As Ralph Wiggum once said in The Simpsons, I'm helping. They use their platforms to influence the idiots out there. The number one guy is Greg Popovich in San Antonio. I call him Gandalf the Woke, who is a screechingly Trump deranged bouncy ball coach who won't shut up about it. Steve Kerr, vocally in the mix this election cycle in favor of Kamala Harris. Steph Curry as well. But what caused the biggest stir this weekend? Oh my God. Nick Bosa wore a MAGA hat for 2 seconds, popping in on a post-victory interview with a teammate with Melissa Stark, the lovely Melissa Stark, conducting. Oh my God. There are actual sports writers demanding the NFL comment on this and saying that he should be fined and or suspended. Now, I know the NFL wants to stay as much out of politics as possible. I know the whole Colin Kaepernick trudge through, oh God, was that a fucking headache for several years, the whole anthem thing. But you can't be mad at Bosa for a hat if you're fine with Steph Curry endorsing a candidate. You can, but you'll be a screaming hypocrite. The usual people have gone nuts, predictably so. Now, it is true, we let dumb people vote, so maybe these kind of things, a hat on Bosa or an endorsement from Steph Curry, makes a couple of people a vote, and in a close 50-50 election and country, maybe that makes the difference, but I don't know. I think even the dumb people who are thinking about voting and are not quite sure yet, although I can't believe they're really pushing anybody off of one candidate to the other, given how different they are. Can't believe even the dumb people seeing these sports figures endorse or recommend or pimp for or pump for makes a goddamn bit of difference. And especially depending on the state, you know? Let's say Steph Curry really had an impact, a big splash. He convinced 10,000 people to vote for Kamala Harris instead of Trump in California. But in California, that's not going to make any difference whatsoever. And it obviously exposes you to being quite disliked by at least, or potentially half of the public. Now, half of the public that doesn't vote your way as an athlete, they may still like you, and they may just put that aside, compartmentalize that. I think a lot of us have had to do that over the years anyway, to say, not just with athletes, but actors, especially in Hollywood, I'm not going to just not watch a movie because I'm going to make a stand. I'm not going to give any of my money. It doesn't work. I mean, it'd be nice if it did, but it doesn't. Anyhow, the average person is really, really dumb. You know that. You're not the average person. And like George Carlin once said, it means that half of the people who are really dumb, half of the people are dumber than the dumbest person that you think is an average dumb in this country. But maybe the ads work. Guess it can't hurt to try. The worst ad of this election cycle just dropped, though, and it's for a coach in the NBA who I don't think he really needs to be seen doing these spots because he is Doc Rivers and his team is 1-3, the Milwaukee Bucks. And it'd be one thing if it was a really cool, slick ad or something that's understated and powerful, maybe Doc Rivers himself just on camera in a dimly lit room, speaking into the camera and passionately about why he's endorsing Kamala Harris and what it means and what he envisions for the future of this country. But no, it is a basketball-themed commercial with the second gentleman, Doug Emhoff, two other guys I don't know, although maybe I should, and they're talking about, all right, here's the game plan. Take a listen.
All right, guys, huddle up. Let's go. Yes, this is the final stretch of the election. We have 30 seconds for one last play.
All right, coach.
By the way, that's a lot of time. 30 seconds for one last play could be a shot, a foul, and another swing. Sports analogies by political campaigns are always not quite on.
You're going to travel across all these swing states, right? And you're going to make sure that folks know that Kamala.
Secondly, too much music, too heavy on the music. I want more vocal pop. We need to bring that out. Let's run those vocals through some augmenting filters so they pop better.
It's going to take care of all of them, just like she takes care of her family.
Yeah.
Tony,
yeah.
You have to make sure everyone knows that Kamala is going to support their families. Wes, you're going to make sure everyone knows that Kamala is an effective government partner.
You got it, Coach.
And all of you, you must head to iwillvote.com to make your plan to vote. To vote!
For Kamala!
Hands in.
To vote, he yells at you.
Kamala on three. One, two, three.
Kamala!
All right.
Oh my God. I mean, wow. All right, well, maybe that swings a few votes. Who knows, especially in a crucial state like Wisconsin. I think the budget for that ad was probably $750 total, $750. Half of that might have been craft services or security. Who knows? Woof. Now, to be fair, Hulk Hogan endorsing Trump is equally stupid and disheartening to think that this is what our representative republic has become. Somewhere, Alexander Hamilton is spinning like a top under 3 tons of marble slabs and a monument. I'll just say this. My only political message here is if you think you've got a good opinion on what this country really needs in a leader and a direction, if you've got a hot minute, go ahead and go vote. Exercise that right that so many died for. But if not, if you don't really think you know, or you don't have a strong opinion, then I say, hey, it's all good. You can sit this one out. You can pull an Anthony Richardson. Oh, what? Too soon? Unfair? The Republic will somehow lurch forward, even if half of you out there don't vote because you don't care, or don't know. 'Tis the noble thing to do, really. If you don't know, why would you be voting? You shouldn't be. But the messaging is always, everyone's got to vote, got to vote, got to vote. Come on, people died for this. Got to vote. What if you don't care? What if you don't know? And better yet, what if you're like H.L. Mencken, who said, I don't vote, it only encourages the bastards. So yes, the Republic will lurch forward, bleeding through money every single day, even if you don't vote. Hell, it actually is running right now without a functioning president. So, yeah, shit's still running, believe it or not, which is kind of crazy and a whole different discussion. Mencken also said that democracy is the idea that people know what they want and that they should get it, good and hard. 1 week, people. Dodgers 4, Yankees 2 last night in the Bronx. First World Series game in New York in 15 years. And the Yankees were... Aaron Judge still on a milk carton. Walker Buehler. Another stellar postseason gem from him on the mound. And, of course, Freddie Freeman, another home run. He's got a home run in five straight games. So do-or-die time for the Yanks in Game 4 on Tuesday night. Not good. They've been swept the last five times. They've been down 0-3 in a best-of-seven. They send a rookie, Luis Gil, G-I-L, or Gil. Oh, Gil's on the mound. Gil doesn't know what he's got to do. That's a Simpsons reference. If you get it, you get it. And the Dodgers are throwing a bullpen game. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, Nanook of the North, Paul Charchian from KFAN in Minneapolis, as well as guillotineleagues.com. We've got action and sizzle midweek in the NFL between weeks 8 and 9. And I want to talk about some replay shenanigans last night in the Pittsburgh Steelers win over the New York Giants. You are listening to the Zabecast. They say to fully enjoy life, you should collect experiences, not things. Physical things you buy become outdated. They lose their appeal. But an experience lasts forever and grows over the years. That's why I want you to know about the Mervis Diamonds South Africa Safari coming this March 2025. Enjoy a five-star luxury adventure with native South African and longtime fixture on the DC diamond scene, Ronnie Mervis himself, leading the group. I've been on the trip twice, and it is spectacular. You'll fly to Cape Town, see the legendary Table Mountain, visit wine country and the spectacular coast. Then it's off to the Kapama Game Reserve to see the Big Five in their natural habitat: lion, elephant, Cape buffalo, leopard, and rhino. Finally, a tour of the Cullinan Diamond Mine in Johannesburg to see where the sparkly magic comes from. All told, 11 luxury days on the ground, all-inclusive for just $6,300 a person. This is it, people. The banger safari trip of a lifetime. I've been twice with Ronnie. You will not be disappointed. I guarantee it. Book now. Space is limited, and it's filling up quick. For more information, go to MervisDiamond.com/safari or call travel consultant John Almeida at 888-722-4872 and tell him I sent you. Remember, life is short. Collect memories, not things. As the leaves turn and the air gets crisp, it is time for some serious action. Bet on Lord Football, from heart-pounding college rivalries to the bone-crushing NFL matchups. But that's not all. The ice is getting cold and the courts are heating up. Get in on the NHL face-off and NBA tip-offs as both leagues kick off their seasons. And if you want to get really nuts, bet on the election. Won't that be fun? If you've been waiting for the right time to get in, the time is now. Make your winning move today. Sign up at mybookie.ag. Use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to be eligible for all promotions. Once again, promo code ZABE to get in on the sweet action. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with mybookie. Are you serious?
I begrudgingly eat the stuff out of the Oreo.
Okay, well,
chocolate.
As if you and I were not nearly gay enough, we should be sitting next to each other in your basement because I just want the white stuff in the middle. You just want the cookies. We make the perfect team.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to twist my Oreo apart in half. I'm going to have you
scrape off
center,
with my tooth.
Scrape it with your teeth. That's right. This is going to be so great.
Do you know
now,
you know what
now,
I will do?
Hold on.
You know what I'll do sometimes is I'll buy the Oreo most stuff in the convenience store. And as I'm driving down the road, I will peel off the top lid of it. And I will just eat the bottom cookie with the thick most stuff.
Okay.
Open face, because one nuclear charred briquette of a cookie is enough for me to balance out the white creamy middle, and I'll throw the other one out the window like a sewer lid and say, I bet you a squirrel or a bird or someone
That's
will eat
absurd.
This.
You know? You're gonna kill some wildlife with that thing.
No.
And I love it. I love the crispy. Now, okay, wait.
So wait. So they're now making Halloween Oreos that have orange inside. Do they taste orangey, or is it just a different color?
Food coloring.
Okay, it's a food coloring thing. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
All right. Now, okay.
So you're upset that the Oreo brand Nabisco has decided we're going to flood the market, flood the zone, dominate shelf space with a lot of variants of our basic Oreo cookie. It's smart business if they can pull it off.
And they do. And how do they pull it off, Zabe? How do they get retailers to decide that they're going to take competing products off the shelf and instead give us all of these variations of Oreo? How do you suppose they do that?
I don't.
Is it wizardry? Is it because they have the best cookie in the world? Or is it because they write Target a big, fat check to dominate, monopolize the cookie market?
Well, what is Nabisco's suite of brands of cookies and crackers and edibles? What leverage do they have to Target to say, look, we just came out with two new Oreo variants. You got to find shelf space for it. Otherwise, we're going to pull back on this, this, and this. I don't know how much leverage they have, but every product is fighting for shelf space. I use the shelf space analogy all the time when it comes to my radio show. I tell people, look, we're 3 hours. We're not the internet. We're not a podcast. We're not on demand. This is what I want you to talk about, Zabe. We have a narrow little window to get in what we think will sell. And I said, now that the NBA started, I won't have shelf space for that product until December at the earliest. It's football season. And even then, the shelf space for the NBA is going to be an end cap just somewhere in the back of the store. Like, we'll have it. Like, yeah, we just got some in. It's over there. We'll stock that more in bulk once the winter sets in. Of course, I've already broken my pledge because the Bucks are out to a 1-3 start and they look like hot ass. And I just played, before you came on, I played the Doc Rivers awful commercial for Kamala Harris where he's pretending to say, okay, here's the game plan. We got to win the game. There's 30 seconds left. It's a sports analogy tortured, like Al-Qaeda torturing an analogy about the election. And I'm just like, Jesus. This is cringy AF, as the kids would say. So, yeah, I did spend some time talking NBA, but only because our team's off to a very bad start. So, anyway.
Big cookie. is ruining my ability to go find other cookies. Well, and I don't like it. And because Target, I've complained about this on the air several times, and because Target is headquartered here, I've had people at Target come discreetly to me and say, you should see the size of the check that they write. And they don't even have to sell any Oreos to make money on the Oreos that are on the shelf.
So you know this on good authority that they're buying shelf space.
Absolutely, well, buying shelf space.
Okay. Not illegal. That's fair play. They know that Target's the biggest box store retailer in America.
Walmart, but yes.
Well, okay. So they're the second biggest, I guess, but they're very dominant in that space.
Yes.
They have no natural rival. There's no blue sort of store like Blue Arrow that is Target's rival with the red Target, right? And so
they're Walmart. Again, Walmart is their rival, but yes. Well,
Walmart skews closer to being a warehouse. It's not quite Costco, but they've got Sam's Club. But Walmart feels more like a warehouse than Target. Would you agree?
No. I'm beginning to think you've never been in a Walmart.
I've Walmarted, bro. It's a little bit more down market. It carries cheaper stuff. I saw a bag of frozen fish in the Walmart food section. That was the biggest, I got to look up what type of fish it was. It was the worst, lowest form of fish that you could harvest.
Would that be scrod? Because if it's not scrod, it should be. With a name like scrod, you've got to be the worst tasting fish of all time.
I'll find lowest scrod. Grades of commercial fish. Listen, I don't mind Walmart. They have some good values in there. But, I mean, there's the reason why there's a website called The People of Walmart.
See, I don't like that because what those the people who do that are the people who are trumpeting just the fact that Walmart is not a union shop and they want Walmart to be a union shop.
Oh, okay.
All the Walmart hate is really just disguised, you know, pro union stuff. And they, you know, they would love to have Walmart's got like, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of employees nationally. I'm sure it's not a million, hundreds of thousands. And, you know, were they to become unionized, obviously would become immediately become one of the biggest unions in America. So I don't like hammering. I don't like I don't like gravy training on the hate for Walmart, because I think that's what a lot of it is motivated by.
All right. Well, I found out something fascinating right now, and that is that you don't even care for the squishy, delicious, inner white, creamy filling of an Oreo. You just want the charcoal briquettes.
I just, okay.
You're the first person, I've ever heard that, but that's okay.
I like the ratio. I think the ratio in the regular Oreo is great. But let me, I will tell you that the best variation of Oreo that I've ever had was the triple double. Do you happen to recall the triple double of 5 years ago?
No.
Get this. You might not, and maybe you won't like it, but I loved it. It's wafer on the top, right? The cookie. Then it's the white creamy center. Then it's a cookie. Then chocolate creamy center. Then a cookie. It's the Big Mac. It's a Big Mac in Oreo form. It was delicious.
Wow. Okay, I found it. Thank you, Internet. It's called Swy.
Swy? What's Swy?
Swy fillets. Boneless, skinless.
Ugh. That sounds awful. That's a fish? The swai?
Swai is a white-fleshed, moist fish, mild flavor, firm texture, native to Southeast Asia.
Yeah. Ugh.
Yeah.
Now, do you know,
I've never even heard of swai.
I haven't either. But they rename fishes for consumer use. Like the orange roughy is actually
tilapia.
Like, it's some other thing that has a disgusting name and looks awful. But they rename it so that you don't know that you're eating scrod or something like that.
Scrod, I mean, yeah.
Nobody wants to put scrod in their mouth. My wife won't. I've tried.
Oh! Well, you know that fish substitution in restaurants is a big ongoing thing where less scrupulous restaurants will serve something claiming it's this and it's really not that. And it's hard sometimes to actually DNA identify what kind of fish it is, because at the end of the day, it's just fucking fish. All right. And if you give a man a fish, he'll eat for one day. If you teach him how to fish with a pole, he'll eat for a lifetime. And with that, let's get to the NFL.
I will not eat a fish. I don't like fish. I don't eat fish. And so I don't have to worry about any of that, Zabe. I'm not a fish eater. I think it smells rancid. I can get myself.
How about shrimp?
I love shrimp. I love seafood. I do not like fish.
Wait a minute.
Fish is the smell and the taste are completely different.
Let's run through it. Fish, no. Shrimp?
In.
Yeah.
Baby.
Lobster.
Love it. Like it.
Okay, crab.
Love it.
Scallops.
Love it.
Oysters.
Hate it, but that's, you know, oysters are they're
calamari
thing, too chewy and rubbery. Care for it.
All right, what else am I
and
missing?
And that's got
on
some funk to it
front?
Too.
Very interesting.
Clams are pretty good. Yeah,
clams are pretty good. Have you ever tried a really good fish?
At Manny's, the general manager of Manny's made me a Creole fish once, and it was genuinely quite good. It was light and flaky.
But
and
you
know why it
was good? Your mind.
You know why it was good?
It didn't change your fish prejudice.
No, I can't eat a mayonnaise every day. Listen, here's the thing. Fish has got that uniquely awful funk to it. The smell and the taste that nothing else is like it. And what do people always tell you when they try to sell you on fish, Zabe?
Don't worry.
What do they always say?
It's not too fishy. That's what
they say. It
doesn't
taste like fish. That's right. Yeah. What an indictment on fish that the best thing they can say about it is that it doesn't taste like itself.
If I told you I could sit down at lunch and then just open a can of tuna fish and eat it right out of the can with a fork, would you believe me? I can do that. I'll do that tomorrow. I'll just like watch this. Get right in there. Doesn't bother.
I don't know why. Why would you? I don't know why you would do that, even if you could. But I mean,
because it's hungry, good for you. It's healthy. Does have high mercury so? Counts, but you know.
Yeah, all and right. it might have a little dolphin sprinkled in here and there, right?
Isn't whatever. That the bit? A dolphin? Maybe get some shark in there. Maybe some octopus in there. Look, Zabe? It all tastes like fish. It all Zabe? Tastes like fish. Yeah.
Here's how committed I am to not eating fish. If I think about fish long enough and hard enough, I can make myself physically nauseous.
Okay, very good. That's the same for me when I think about Anthony Richardson. I can get physically nauseous. And that's what the Colts figured out. Let's start with that whole thing. Let's go to the game itself after Richardson tapped out. Let me first play for you the great Brian Baldinger talking about the play in question. I know you've seen it by now. I'm sure you've talked about it on KFan, yep. Right? Here we go. Here, for those that haven't, this is Baldinger's take on the play.
Oh, it's second and goal at the 23 when Anthony Richardson drops back. He shakes off a defender like he's prone to do. Big man, strong, fast, and he takes off with it, and he tries to get as many yards as he can on second down. Hanson technically sacks him right there for no gain. But he gets up. Big Q comes over. Tucker comes over.
Big Q.
Checks on his quarterback. Make sure he's okay.
Love that.
Yep. That's what Q does to his quarterback. Doesn't matter who it is. But then this happens. We see this. The whole world sees it. We've never seen it before. We've never seen a quarterback tap out.
Literally like, taps.
We've seen defensive linemen tap out. We've seen wide receivers go, okay, I just ran two go routes in a row. Give me a blow. We've never seen this from a quarterback. This is your franchise right here. I don't know what the guys are saying about him today, but that's not acceptable. It just isn't. Nobody wants to see this from their quarterback. All right. Like, you're tired. So what? Everybody's tired. What happens if this is a playoff game? If it's a big moment and you're going to tap out? You can't do it. It's not acceptable. Jimmy Ursay deserves better than that.
I don't know about that.
Let's not go that far. He had me until then.
Right, you really did. Okay. So that was on Sunday. This was Richardson explaining what happened. Take a listen.
Man, tired. I ain't gonna lie. That was a lot of running right there that I did. And I don't think I was gonna be able to go that next play. So I just, just so saying I just needed a break right there.
He was like kind of proud of himself for saying, I'm not gonna lie, ain't gonna lie.
Man, tired, I ain't gonna lie.
My best response I saw on Twitter was, you should consider lying.
Lying, yes. Consider the merits of lying right there.
Right. So then McAfee, the former Colt, talks about this on Monday. And as things were kind of coming out of the haze of the weekend on Monday morning when McAfee went on the air, it was still uncertain as to what would happen.
Shane Steichen to reporters on whether quarterback Anthony Richardson will start Sunday night in Minnesota. Oh, I forgot Sunday night football. Great. We're evaluating everything, says Shane Steichen. Shane Steichen also confirms there was a conversation with Richardson in the quarterback room. It'll be kept private, but he knows he can't come out of the game. Okay.
Well, he does now.
He does now, said AJ Hawk. Now he knows he can't come out. He certainly didn't sound like that when he said, I ain't lying, man. That was a lot of running. So, yeah, did the smart thing. Took myself out of the game.
Business dipshit. Decision right there. That, I guess, or just lazy. I mean, here's the thing. Nobody ever does that. Why? You don't have to. I've heard some people suggest that he should have been coached that.
No.
Your coach shouldn't even have to tell you that. You never do that. Does Lamar Jackson running all over the field, up into 40-yard gains, 50-yard gains, does he ever take himself out? Never.
Byron
never
Leftwich.
Takes himself out.
Byron Leftwich in college at Marshall once famously had two linemen carry him, wounded Revolutionary War soldier style, 30 yards downfield. With a leg that was all jacked up instead of tapping out of the game. Do you not understand? You're not a running back. You're not a wideout, dum-dum. You are the face of the franchise. You're the leader of the team. You don't get to do this.
This is, you know, so...
So he's now been benched.
A month.
He has now been benched, and you guys, the Vikes, are going to catch Flacco instead of Richardson.
What a shame.
Which is
what
a tough break for you guys.
So, that's not it. That's not all of it. Dave, last week, we caught the Rams with Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp. The whole rest of the NFC North has already played the Rams without both guys. The Lions got one guy. That's it. That's it. We get the Rams when their elite wide receivers are healthy. Now here come the Colts, and they're finally making the move that every player has wanted them to make this entire season, which is to bench the quarterback that can't move the offense. All the players know it. It's got to be a gigantic relief to them that they can spend a week practicing knowing that their best quarterback is going to be under center. And now the Vikings get him on national television without their starting left tackle, with the team in disarray, having just been their defense getting run through.
Right.
A defense that had looked awesome all season long but has fallen apart in consecutive games. It's... You can't make it up, Sam.
The Bears, the Packers, the Lions, and the Vikings were all in Advanced Chemistry 209, and the teacher was out sick for the 3 days we were in class, and then you're in class, and the original teacher is back, and he's a hard ass, and gives you a pop quiz that's worth 30% of your grade.
That's, yes.
You're like, exactly. Fuck, man, what the hell?
Why did I get this?
Well, someone once said, it's not who you play in the NFL season, it's when you play them. Are they hurt? Are they healthy? Is it early? Mm-hmm. Is it late? Is it back after a Thursday night game? Or, you know, like, it all depends on that. Okay.
One other one for my Vikings. Jordan Love misses two games. Which game does he come back for? What does he rally from injury to come back and play?
The Vikings, beat him anyway, though.
We beat him anyway. Barely, but we did win.
Right. But yeah, luckily he was out for the Colts and the Titans. Titans have gotten out of the Will Levis business. He's every bit as bad as Richardson. He just wasn't drafted as high. And they at least have the functional Mason Rudolph, who, as my friend Charch likes to say, is, quote, non-awful.
Non-awful. Yeah. that is the best thing you best can line say ever.
Non-fucking awful.
Awful.
I'm assuming you're aware of one Nate Bargatze or Bargatze.
Yeah, I think he's
You
funny.
Went to
he's,
see he him, did job. You not?
No, I saw Jim Jeffries.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
The Australian guy.
I don't know him, but I'll look him up.
Really? You don't know Jim Jeffries? Oh, my. He's. I think you would enjoy Jim Jeffries' humor.
What's his best bit? I'll
edgy.
Look it up.
Jim Jeffries. Apparently, he alluded to his famous bit, which I did not know. It's on gun control. Is apparently...
That's the first result.
His most famous bit.
Is
but
he?
I don't
is
know.
The government went, that's it. No more guns. And we all went, yeah, right then, that seems fair enough, really. Now, in America, you have the Sandy Hook massacre where little tiny children died.
All right. You say I don't need to hear this asshole. Okay. I guess he's fine. Yeah. Australia.
He's very edgy. And by the way, you think he's going to be, based on that, on, you know, 20 seconds, you think he's going to be PC? He's extremely not PC.
But is he pro gun control?
Super, super edgy. Well, apparently, yes. I don't
it's
know,
from Australia.
But that's the first time I've heard it.
Yeah, but it was very strict gun control.
It was one of these bits where you're like, I can't believe it's so wrong that I'm laughing right now. That was the whole, you know, that I spent 90 minutes doing that. And oh, let me tell you what else I loved about his show. It started at 7 p.m.
on schedule.
On time. I started to no opener, and it started at 7 o'clock. And I'm like, I love this guy. And I thought to myself, wow, this is so convenient. And as it turns out, at the end of it, he acknowledged that he is getting older. His audience is getting older, that mostly people in their 40s. And
they don't want to be out all night.
I know what you want. That's right. I know what you want. And it's a good night's sleep. So we start at 7 o'clock. And I'm like, yeah, I'm out by 9. I love it.
All right. So here is the Nate Bargatze George Washington speech to set things up. If you haven't seen it, there's actually two of them. He did one a year ago. This is from the original one, talking about how absurd some things are, and they have no rhyme or reason behind them.
I hear the British are sending another 5,000 troops.
How will we ever win this war?
By remembering what we fight for.
General Washington.
Sit, please. We need your strength for the fight ahead. We fight for a country of our own, a new nation, where we choose our own laws.
Here, here,
said sir.
Choose our own leaders.
Yes, sir.
and choose our own systems of weights and measures.
Weights and measures. Weights and measures, sir?
Yes. Yes, I dream of that one day. Our proud nation will measure weights in pounds, and that 2,000 pounds shall be called a ton.
Pounds.
And what will 1,000 pounds be called, sir?
Nothing. Because we will have no word for that.
It seems like we should have a word for 1,000 pounds, sir.
And yet we won't.
And yeah. I love
because
it.
We are free men. And we will be free to measure liquids in liters and milliliters. But not all liquids, only soda, wine, and alcohol.
Only those, sir.
Yes. Because for milk and paint, we will use gallons, pints, and quarts, God willing.
How many liters are in a gallon, sir?
Nobody knows.
So this has spawned one of the great runs of sports-related memes based on that dialogue. Have you seen some of them?
No, I do okay. not know of what you're talking.
Okay, here's a couple just for shits and giggles. And we shall name them the Dallas Cowboys, and they will be America's team. So they'll play in Dallas, sir? No, they'll play in Arlington, but have offices in Frisco. But America will love them. Oh, if it was only that simple. We'll play football, but have rules for unnecessary roughness. But, sir, isn't it a rough sport to begin with? Yay, it is. Well, how will you sack the quarterback? Well, if you hit him high, flag. If it's low, flag. May we hit him in the middle, sir? Yes. But not too hard. Then, flag. Here's one. And we will have grand college football leagues like the Big Ten Conference. Ah, so the league will have 10 teams. No. How many teams, sir? 18. Why 18, sir? Nobody knows. No. And on and on. Here's one. We'll have two teams that play from New York City. In which borough shall they play, sir? None. They'll play in New Jersey. And approximately 45% of their games will be on national TV. Well then, sir, those two teams must win very often. Almost never. Oh my God, it's such a run. Which brings us to the absurdity of Monday night's game. The Steelers wanted to challenge a touchdown overturn because we found out, I found out for the first time in my life, that while one knee equals 2 feet, John Madden made that phrase, one knee equals 2 feet, 1 foot twice does not equal a right and a left foot. That George Pickens went pop, pop, hop, hop on a right foot twice in the end zone, full control, and that's not a catch.
You know, it seems obvious now, Zay, but I bet had we pulled... if we'd have gone Family Feud and we had polled 100 people and asked them if about this exact thing, I bet it would have been roughly down the middle on people who would have been like 2 feet. You could, you know, as long as you get 2 feet in, if somehow you can do this, you
two
can
right feet, two left
twice.
Field feet, yes. Three left feet, one right foot. Doesn't matter. Any combination that adds up to two pop pops, actual
right.
steps.
But if, I don't.
I'd never
don't
seen that
ever
before.
Remember this coming up? No,
I don't
how
either.
Much, we have watched thousands of receptions.
Never come up.
Never come up once.
Because of now, just how he was hit. Just how he was hit. Exactly. He was trying to get both feet down. His left foot got swung around by the momentum of the hit, but he's able to double tap his right foot, and that apparently wasn't good enough. Now, the absurdity didn't end there. It then went on with Tomlin being irate, saying, I want to challenge the call. What he was told is, you can't challenge the call because all such plays, turnovers, or scoring potential scoring plays are reviewed. And instead of just saying, yeah, no, you can't do it, they already looked at it, they said, we're going to take a timeout away because you weren't allowed to even ask for it.
Ask?
Why wouldn't they just go, yeah, no, you can't review
no,
that.
No, you can't do that and end it there.
It stunned me. And we still had to sit through a commercial timeout. anyway.
Oh, that part I did not
realize.
Yes! Now, that's why. So I think the reason that that rule exists is they don't want people intentionally slowing the game down by acting dumb about the rules. Hey, whoa. Are we allowed to challenge here? Because he put one foot down. And
but that's where you say
drag and delay in the game that they don't want.
But that's where you just go, no. How long does it take to say no? You can't challenge. Well, get the head referee over here. I demand to know. Like, these coaches will go full Karen, and they'll ask to talk to the manager. Get me Cleek Blakeman over here right now. Why can I not challenge this? I am a tenured coach. I'm the longest tenured coach in the NFL, Mike Tomlin would say. Give me my replay. This would be akin where, okay, so they asked for a challenge they were not allowed to have. Not told no, they were instead taking a timeout away as a penalty. This would be like, I was thinking about this, it would be like going to a hotel, forgetting your toiletry bag, going to the front desk, going, do you have one of those like just emergency kits with like a toothbrush and toothpaste and maybe some shaving cream? No, we don't. And your room rate just went up by $20 for even asking. Good day, sir.
Have you ever had to use the emergency toiletries kit?
It is terrible.
It is so bad. Save the dollar store would not dignify itself
no.
to sell that kit for $1.25.
Right. They clearly made it so bad they were worried about people hoarding it. Right. Because if it's good enough, they would hoard it and steal it and then resell it on the street on a folding table. In the hood. Yeah. Then there was the should have been penalty on the punt, roughing the punter, that completely flabbergasted the Manning boys when they saw it in real time. Here's how it sounded.
Fly guy Eli pulled it out, and the rest is history, baby. The helmet catch.
Okay, that's crazy. That's a late hit on the punter right there. We're going to get the ball here.
It was a personal foul.
Calvin Austin the third, couple of great returns,
and
by the way.
Ran it back. Either way,
either offsetting or Pittsburgh.
Right. I mean, the Giants might
penalties.
Get
this. That's the third touchdown
for a penalty.
And a penalty is overturned or a wow.
All right. Now here's the call.
Wow.
Oh. You think it was
incidental? Why is that not a penalty? He took his knee out.
How is that not a penalty?
How is that not a penalty?
Right. By the way, Eli had a great derp face while watching that. Like full slack-lipped bottom jaw. You know the Eli derp face?
What?
You got to go see that clip. That, to me, is one of the biggest gripes. And I posted this poll on Twitter last night. I said, what is your biggest current NFL gripe? And I will ask you that question as well, Charge. What is it? Is it pass interference calls, inconsistent replay logic, roughing penalties, or absurd safety rules?
Well, do I have to pick one of those?
Well, a lot of people said all of the above. But what is biggest
fair too.
Gripe?
Too many penalties it drives me crazy. We're up to now, 15, 16, 17 penalties per game.
Are we trending above previous year's average? Yes.
Okay. I believe so. I anecdotally, I don't know that because
It feels that way.
I had that kind of time. It sure does feel that way. Now, and here's the other thing if you want to get into this. You're going to hate this. You're going to hate this. Not that we want to expand replay.
Oh, here we go.
Here's the thing. If you're gonna let people challenge anything, Belichick said this. He was 100% right. If we're gonna introduce the challenge, you should be able to challenge anything that's happened on the field.
But then you only get two challenges.
Fine, but you should be able.
But why have this convoluted
list of things that are in and out that you can and cannot challenge? Just let us challenge whatever appears to be wrong.
Do you know why that won't work? It's because of the fairies. It's the fairies. Who have made this thing such a monstrosity. They insisted that, you're going to get X number of challenges, so you can't go challenging everything. We're going to put a limiter on that. But what about turnovers? Well, yeah, we have to look at those no matter what. So let's not charge a team for that. Well, yeah, and all scoring play. We got to look at all scoring plays. And then people realized, well, shit, what about plays that look like a turnover and are not a scoring play, or a scoring play that's not a turnover and not a scoring play, like the Pickens 2-foot tap-tap last night? Well, we got to look at that because it wouldn't be fair. What the fairies are dreaming of is a perfectly called, they're dreaming of a perfectly called NFL game. That is no injustice whatsoever. And it's the most childlike, absurd fucking thing I've ever heard and seen. Grow up. Grow up. Life is not fair. And your football games won't be fair either. We can't fix everything.
Thursday night football, Vikings loss. And in that loss, the Vikings have one last drive, enough time for one last drive. They got about a minute left. They get the ball at their own, I don't know, like 3-yard line. They got to go 97 yards. And on the what ended up being the final meaningful play of the game, Sam Darnold gets pulled to the ground by his face mask.
I remember that.
The player who pulled him down by the face mask gets up and he's holding his helmet because he's so upset at himself.
What a stupid I am. I've cost my team badly. Right.
Exactly. I just cost my team 15 yards, a personal foul of 15 yards. It would have obviously moved the Vikings to the out of the shadow of their own end zone to the 18-yard line with a minute left and Justin Jefferson and blah, blah, blah. But somehow two referees we have now seen camera angles that show them looking directly at the play, both said we didn't have a line of sight to it, despite the fact that Sam Darnold's entire body rotated 180 degrees directly in front of these two guys.
Yeah.
There has never been a better case to be made for fixing NFL games, that referees fix games, than that, as far as I'm concerned. And maybe it's because I'm a Viking fan. I'm the jilted party here. But this is as compelling a rationale as anybody has ever been able to give me.
You do know you were in your own end zone and trailing by 7, right?
Yes.
So they're like
with a minute left, and that those referees ended the game, Zabe. They ended the game. We trailed by eight.
Hold on. Yes. Let me eight. Okay, eight. Even worse. All right. Let me just play this out here.
This random Thursday game. We cannot have this go to the Vikings. We need you to make a BS call here. Just ignore that face mask right now. Ignore it. Okay. Good job, everybody. That's a wrap. We were close there. Whew. They almost went 105 yards for a touchdown and a two-point conversion to send it to overtime for a game that's on a Thursday in Week 7. We saved everything. Thank God the league is fixed.
Come on.
I am not saying it is fixed. I'm saying if you are looking for rationales, this is the best one I can give you.
Okay. Finally, on the way out the door, she is no Hedy Lamarr, but she was one of the early crushes of our generation. Terry Garr has passed away.
No.
Terry Garr.
She was battling MS, right, for most of her life?
Died at 79 years old. She was in Young Frankenstein. She was in Tootsie. She was on TV shows. And
so
she was
things.
A apple-cheeked doll that we grew up with. So rest in peace, Terry Garr. Okay.
And nice knockers.
Capital knockers, man. Fabulous. All right. Charge, as always, guillotineleagues.com for those who want to jump in, those who have been chopped unceremoniously like yours truly. Of course, Cooper Cup and who else had a big game for me a week too late? The guys I just lost.
It always goes that way.
All right, Charge, we'll talk to you next week. Thank you, bud.
Bye-bye. Yeah, bye.
Well, that's like it was sung by angels. Hey, Jose. Yeah, what?
Guess what? With Robinhood Gold, you don't need a silver spoon to eat up the financial favors of the 1%. Robinhood Gold allows the resourceful individual to earn the very liberal rate of 4.5% APY on uninvested cash, receive unlimited 1% deposit bonuses, and be rewarded with a handsome 3% retirement boost on an IRA account. Get the privileges of the high net worth for any net worth for just $5 a month. Sign up at Robinhood.com/gold. Terms apply. For product-specific disclosures, visit Robinhood.com/gold. Investing involves risk. Rate may change. Gold membership is offered by Robinhood Gold LLC.
They say to fully enjoy life, you should collect experiences, not things. Physical things you buy become outdated. They lose their appeal. But an experience lasts forever and grows over the years. That's why I want you to know about the Mervis Diamond South Africa Safari coming this March 2025. Enjoy a five-star luxury adventure with native South African and longtime fixture on the DC diamond scene, Ronnie Mervis himself, leading the group. I've been on the trip twice, and it is spectacular. You'll fly to Cape Town, see the legendary Table Mountain, visit wine country and the spectacular coast. Then it's off to the Kapama Game Reserve to see the Big Five in their natural habitat: lion, elephant, Cape buffalo, leopard, and rhino. Finally, a tour of the Cullinan Diamond Mine in Johannesburg to see where the sparkly magic comes from. All told, 11 luxury days on the ground, all-inclusive, for just $6,300 a person. This is it, people. The banger safari trip of a lifetime. I've been twice with Ronnie. You will not be disappointed. I guarantee it. Book now. Space is limited, and it's filling up quick. For more information, go to MervisDiamond.com/safari or call travel consultant John Almeida at 888-722-4872 and tell him I sent you. Remember, life is short. Collect memories, not things. As the leaves turn and the air gets crisp, it is time for some serious action. Bet on Lord Football, from heart-pounding college rivalries to the bone-crushing NFL matchups. But that's not all. The ice is getting cold and the courts are heating up. Get in on the NHL face-off and NBA tip-offs as both leagues kick off their seasons. And if you want to get really nuts, bet on the election. Won't that be fun? If you've been waiting for the right time to get in, the time is now. Make your winning move today. Sign up at mybookie.ag. Use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to be eligible for all promotions. Once again, promo code ZABE to get in on the sweet action. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.